You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good evening. Good evening. Hello. I'm Jamie. I'm part of the team here at Whole Vineyard, and it's my joy to come and share with us this evening. We're in a series on mindsets. If you've not been around for the last few evening services, I am loving this series. We're asking the question, what does it look like to have renewed minds? And tonight we're focusing in on quite a heavy topic. We're focusing in on temptation. And I don't know about you, but for me, the placement of fast food restaurants is, it just epitomizes what temptation looks like. Hope and I went to a Christian conference over summer, and we were there eating our baked beans on toast. And over the tops of the tents, you could see these glowing golden arches of McDonald's. And by the end, they'd walked a whole path through a field to get to this McDonald's, all these good Christians at this conference. Whenever we go to get petrol, Burger King at the end of Clough Road, it's right there in front of us. We've just sang some pretty enthusiastic worship songs, so I've burnt off my calories, and I keep falling for that one. I used to go to the gym in Sheffield, and when we were there, we'd just look across from the treadmill, and there would be, again, another McDonald's right there in front of us. It was like I was sprinting towards this temptation that I was trying to run away from. And temptation just shows its face everywhere, right? When we're going through life, where we're going to church, we're going to home group, we're going to work, we're going to uni, temptation shows its face. It's in the gossip which we hear. It's in the language which we're tempted to use to try and fit in. It's in the one more drink won't hurt. But it's almost like there's a bit of an agenda and a pattern to the temptation we face. And I don't know whether you see that too, but that's the truth, that temptation isn't this accidental thing. It's patterned and it's planned. And there's social pressures and temptations, but the private temptations, these secret places, are the most contested because they're where God tends to do his most intimate, his most deep, important works within us. And those spaces are at risk for us because we're a people who now have short-form content. It's addicting to us. It's rewiring our brains to seek instant dopamine just wherever we can find it. We have devices that access porn 24/7. We've got social media that churns out shame like nothing we've ever seen before. And yet, you're here this evening because you'd rather follow Jesus. You're done with the hits and the fake satisfaction and your addictions, and you'd rather show up for Jesus. It's something that I've seen this American pastor, David Thomas, he goes around and speaks to lots of young people. And when he does, he commends them for following Jesus in the face of this. And I just think it needs to be said because it really is absolutely remarkable that when we've got everything at our fingertips, you would rather have Jesus. And you're in good company. We've got a book full of faith and failure, God's people suffering and succeeding for thousands and thousands of years. And the struggles we face, they're not so far removed from theirs. They're simply presented in different ways. Let's take Judas selling out Jesus. How often are we tempted in by something that could give us money, it could give us career, it could give us status, but it costs us Jesus and his call? You see, temptation's been around since Eden. It's been enticing God's people into self-reliance and into sin. And yet we still fall over and over and over the same lies that have led generations out of God's plans. In the garden, it was the snake saying, did God really say, you certainly will not die. You will be like God. He's saying, God is holding out on you, so just go and take the reins. Like the church in Colossae, in our morning services, we're going through Colossians. Their belief was Jesus isn't quite sufficient. He's almost there, but we just need these religious practices and these festivals and these other gods to buffer that. Again, God is holding out on you. Why don't you go and take the reins? That's a temptation. It could be for us today, battling with relationships. It becomes go for it. You know, no sex before marriage, that's outdated. And you really need to test the waters before you jump in because God is holding out on you. So why don't you take the reins? And so there's plenty of other lies lots of which we believe, which are less obvious, but they're equally devastating. And you see, here's the reality. The enemy is speaking as well, and he's looking to twist what the Lord has spoken for good. And so that's why we're called to resist temptation. And John Mark Comer says it really well. He says, we're to resist being deformed out of the likeness of Jesus. He also puts our struggles and our interactions with temptations very aptly. And he summarizes it by saying, deceptive ideas play on our disordered desires, and these are normalized in a sinful world. That is the enemy, the flesh, and the world. And that's temptation. It is lies that play to our desires, which our world says, that's okay, that's normal. And we are believing more lies than we realize. But here's the good news. While we're surrounded by lies and temptation, we have Jesus. And Jesus claims to be truth himself, truth in all its fullness. And as we allow Jesus to come in and to change us, to turn us around, the lies that we've been believing are exposed and they're brought to the surface. And that's why we're in a series on mindsets, because what we believe gives rise to our actions. And for so many of us, it's like we've been living in lies for so long that we can't even see them or the effect that they're having on us. Now, I want to focus in on three main subtopics tonight. We are going to look at receiving grace, recognizing patterns, and resisting and fleeing. So for those of you making notes, the handle, they all start with R, so hopefully that makes it look nice and neat. We're starting with receiving grace, and as we dive in, we need to lay some core foundations. Where there's conviction, that is from the Holy Spirit, and it's an opportunity for freedom. Condemnation and shame and guilt are from the enemy, and they are not welcome. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit, and it's an opportunity for freedom. Conviction is saying there's a better way to live. You don't have to stay in that place anymore. It's us seeing a glimpse of the Jesus way and the Holy Spirit calling us and saying, come on in. The door's being opened for you. You're able to live like this. And for those of you who've been, maybe been running away from our mistakes at the moment and we've just made it to church, that's Jesus' heart for us. It's to live free. He's jealous for you. His heart is towards you. It's towards those of us who are struggling and feeling bound up. He would love to come and give peace and to set you free. You see, the deeper in your sin you go, the deeper Christ's love will extend towards you. Jesus says this in John 6:37. He says, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. And I love this extract from one of my favorite books, Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And he bases it on one of these passages. And he says, I am a hard-hearted Christian. And Jesus says, I will not cast you out. You say, look, I'm a backsliding Christian. I will not cast you out, says Jesus. You say, I have no good thing to bring with me. I will not cast you out, says Jesus. You see, the reason this has to be phrased so explicitly by Jesus is because in our imperfect struggles with temptation, we can so easily rule ourselves out from the grace of God. But it's freely given, and it needs to be freely received by us. Anyone else have one of those dishwashers? We had one for a while. That was like half a job. So I pretty much have to clean all the dishes before I put them in. Otherwise, it's going to be chili, and we haven't even had chili that week, and there's going to be chili on all the glasses and all the cutlery and all the plates. It's a nightmare. That's one of my pet peeves. And that's how I treated my relationship with God. I said, okay, sorry, Lord, I've done something against you, and I'm just going to sit here in my shame and in my guilt and in my sin, and I'm going to try and take most of the dirt off. And then after I've done that, I can come to you. But you know, we can't do that with God. Our job tonight is, if we're in a tough place with temptation, it's not to work hard to clean ourselves up and meet the Lord halfway. It's his work, which he does for us when we let him in. And that's a heart posture that I needed to address before I even started dealing with the issue of temptation. And I wonder whether that's the same for a few of us here tonight. We're ill, he's the doctor, so we have to let him in. And it's just important, I think, that we start there. Tonight we're going to get really practical. Everything we'll go through is contingent, however, on us having a gaze fixed on Jesus, because as we look at him, we receive the grace of a better vision for our lives. Our desire for other things starts to fade in comparison to just how beautiful Jesus is to us. You see, getting better at standing up to temptation isn't about sin management strategies. It's about living life with a greater purpose, to be near the Lord, to know his heart, to see him rightly. So, say we're able to receive grace for our weaknesses. Our identities may be a little bit more secure, but we're not living in fullness. We're destined to run, but in reality, if we're being honest, we're crawling. We're using our freedom just to chain ourselves back up again. And lots of us can find ourselves living like this. But Jesus' call is to live fully free and fully alive. It's his invitation. So how do we practically resist the urge to live a life short of Jesus' plan for us? Well, let's go to point two. I'd suggest we have to recognize patterns in our lives. Here's a story I love to share with my students when I teach them science. There's a guy, he had some goggles that turned the world upside down. So he puts these goggles on, it's a true story, he puts these goggles on his face, and everything appears upside down for a little bit. And then he wakes up the second day, and he's kept them on all night, and everything is still upside down. He carries on. On the third morning, he wakes up again, and everything is the right way up. And he checks his face, he thinks, where are the goggles? And they're still on his face. However, what's happened is his brain has adapted, and it's rewired, and actually everything is appearing the right way up now. You see, his brain has recognized this pattern, and it said, hey, this is your new normal. And that was in 2 days of wearing upside-down goggles. And he takes it off, and the world is completely upside down. And that's how it can look for us sometimes. We're living in patterns of sin and shame, and we don't even know about them because our brain has said, hey, well, this is just the normal. This is how it is to live in life. And that's not true. And there's freedom for us here tonight. But we need to recognize these patterns to bring them before the Lord. And so oftentimes, our biggest struggles, they aren't even rooted in the objectively most tempting things. It's from the ideas that play to our disordered desires. So they're deep in our neural networks, like grooves in need of identification, redirection, and restoration. See, deeply individual, they're set within our personalities and habits, and oftentimes unnoticeable. Just like the man wearing the goggles, they've become our new normal. And Paul summarizes this really well in one of our core passages that we're using in our mindset series. It's from Romans 12:2, and it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, this world has a pattern to it. We've said it's not accidental. It has a pattern and an order. And in order to recognize that, our minds have to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're going today with receiving, recognizing, and resisting. We're actively saying yes to the patterns and the habit and the lifestyle of Jesus, to having the mind of Christ, as Paul says to the Corinthians. Minds that live in reality, that have rooted out old patterns, old habits, and thoughts which are based on the things of the world. And so how do we identify the origins, our patterns, and our thought processes? Well, Deborah Folletta, who is a Christian therapist and an author, in her book, The Reset, shared a common method that she uses in her practice. She says, find a quiet space where you can focus on the Holy Spirit. Take a piece of paper with you. Write down the key major events in your life, things which you remember and which have made an impact. Note down what themes emerge. Are there any feelings that are common across those events? Are there any negative patterns of behavior from you or from loved ones? Is there any insecurity that has been present for a long time? And then go and talk this through with people you trust and that you're accountable to. Maybe you'd like to try that. If you feel there's a pattern of sin growing in your life, you're struggling to figure out, well, where's the root? You see, much of our struggle is born in key events, and it just grows from there. It would be silly for us to go and chop the leaves off a root and expect that weed just to die. But what we've got to do, we have to find the roots of the weeds. We have to identify where they are, dig them up, and get rid of them so that the weed will not grow back. And this can take time. And Jesus is in it for the journey. He's here for the long haul. And so this evening, let's not aim for just a temporary improvement, but long-term freedom with the Holy Spirit. And to do that, we have to go through this painful process of digging up our lives, but it is for freedom that we were set free. And the more we uproot lies and patterns and things which take up space in our hearts, the more we're able to give space to the Holy Spirit to come and fill us back up and make us more like Jesus. And the more Jesus, the more freedom. Okay, resisting and fleeing. Imagine we've received grace, we've discovered some patterns that are in our lives, but how do we practically resist and flee temptation, something we all struggle with? Well, living without suffering isn't living like Jesus. You see, that would be fine if the enemy played fair, if our desires were correctly oriented, and if the world was neutral, but that isn't the case. As it stands, there's a current which is working against our holiness, whoever we are, and whether we like it or not. And it's why we feel the tension as Christians living in our world, because there's a holy struggle which we're called into. We're called to swim against the current, to resist and to flee, to fight the good fight of faith, taking hold of eternal life. Hebrews says you have to throw off everything that hinders so that you can run. It's what we're destined to do. So how do we win? Well, every time I fall and I hear of people who fall into temptation, it's not that they didn't have the best intentions or they didn't have the best heart posture towards God. It's that they just weren't ready for the fight. And one top tip, which we often hear in churches, but originates from Alcoholics Anonymous, is HALT. It's an acronym, and it just means hungry, angry, lonely, tired. When you're in those places, you are most susceptible to temptation. So it's about carefully managing ourselves when we're in those spaces and our access to our drug of choice, whatever that might be, our struggle. Now, our resistance, our planning, might work for most temptations, just to be able to stand in the face of it and resist and hold firm. But when it comes to sexual temptation, Scripture is really clear. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Proverbs says this. It says, keep a path far from her. It's talking about sexual immorality. Do not go near the door of her house. See, don't go near. Keep a path far. Flee. Scripture is clear. Sexual temptation isn't one that we can just resist with good intentions. We need to flee. And it's no surprise that those of us who try to walk the line will inevitably slip up. You see, going like the door from Proverbs is like going to a bar as someone who struggles with alcohol and assessing the IPA selection that they've got, and then maybe having a bit of a taster as well and expecting to be fine. It's like being alone at 1 a.m. after a party with somebody you really like and just expecting that things will be absolutely fine and that you can just resist. You see, sadly, we aren't as strong as we think we are. And if our intentions are to follow Jesus, sometimes we have to be smarter about where we're placing ourselves. You see, in environments of intense temptation, we aren't wired for good decision-making, which means simply resisting just won't be enough. We have to learn to flee. See, freedom isn't found in walking the line. It's found in, as Galatians 5:25 puts it, walking in step with the Spirit. And rather than saying, is this technically a sin, or how far can I go before marriage, or how many drinks is too many? Let's rephrase and ask the question, is this life-giving? Is it leading me towards Jesus or away from him? How much of this could I save for my wife or husband when they come along to honor them? Would that extra drink help me represent you, Jesus, this evening or not? Not hard, fast religious rules, but questions that inspire us to resist with a better vision for life in mind. See, healthy limitations are actually invitations to us to live fully and to live freely. So let's summarize this with a bit of an action plan. And I couldn't make these all start with the same letter, sadly. But we've got roots, environments, community, relationship, and plans. So first we might want to find the root. When did we start this habit? Is this a general self-discipline struggle or a specific area? Why might you be doing this? What's your reason? Then environment. Check your environment. What are the places where you know temptation will be? It's quite predictable. Can we remove as many of those as possible? Then community. Check our community. So who you hang out with, are you around people that can hold you to account? And if you are around people who can hold you to account, have you explicitly told them to hold you to account? Because otherwise people won't immediately do that. And when they do, will you listen to their feedback? That's been a really challenging one for me. And then check our relationship with God. So it's no wonder we're falling, we're struggling to get back up if we aren't receiving the help of the Holy Spirit. If we aren't asking him to actively renew our minds and help us to know Jesus. You see, as much as we talk about practicalities and strategies, freedom is found in Jesus. Not in a good plan, but he can inspire our plans to help lead us out of temptation. And then plan. We can come up with a plan. And my advice would be share it with one to two other people. Get them to hold you accountable. Make it really, really practical and make these steps doable. So for example, if you're struggling with sexual temptation in a dating relationship, you might want to set a curfew. Not many good things happen past 10 p.m., but most of the bad things end up happening then. Check your hearts. How are you doing individually with the Lord? Maybe find a married couple who've been there and quiz them. Ask them for help. Get some accountability. You see, it wasn't meant to be an isolated journey. And that's one example. Our struggles are so individual. However, this is such a great church with so many seasoned people who've been through these struggles. And so there will be somebody in the church who's been through the struggle that you are battling with, and they've come out on top with Jesus' help. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who would love to help see you free and restored and healed. Maybe it's spending, maybe it's overeating, maybe it's porn, maybe it's fearing for your future. Whatever it is that's tempting you away from living as Jesus intended, the promise we can cling to is this from 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's that we will never be tempted beyond what we can bear. And when we are tempted, Jesus always has a way out for us.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.